Like I said, I hope y'all had a great Christmas. So you ever had your mind so full of thoughts and things to do that you get confused on schedule? So I got guilty of that this week. So a couple days ago, I told Lori, because we had a bunch of stuff going on, birthday parties, anyway, all kinds of stuff. I said, I have to go early Sunday morning, real early, and stuff, to wrap up the sermon for today. I had some extra little thoughts. She's okay. I get up this morning, I pour me a cup of coffee, and God tells me, in that the way he does sometimes, go open your Bible. That's okay. I went and opened my Bible. I opened it up. What I thought I had to finish was already finished. I was on the wrong sermon.
There you go.
So I had to, why didn't? So anyway, I got to enjoy my coffee this morning. I wasn't no rush. So I didn't have to go back and finish up nothing. There was a pastor that gave his congregation a homework assignment. Y'all familiar with that? I do that sometimes, give y'all something to do. He told them, he said, next Sunday, this ain't me, so we ain't preaching about that today. But he said, next Sunday, I'm going to preach on telling the truth on lying and how you shouldn't do it. So I want y'all to go home, read Mark chapter 17, and come back next Sunday. Next Sunday, they come back. He said, did y'all do your homework? Did y'all read Mark chapter 17? And everybody in the congregation raised their hand. Yes, sir, we did. He said, okay. He said, we're fixing to get into the sermon about lying. There's only 16 chapters in Mark. So which prompt me, are y'all doing y'all's homework when I tell y'all to? I'm not going to call you out like that. I won't do that to y'all. So it's a process I go through and stuff that God, let me back up, a process that God puts me through on my sermons, his sermons he wants me to put out, right? And so I do that. And I couldn't do this on my own. I'm not smart enough. So since April to now, we've been doing, the majority of the sermons have been on questions of why. And so I know y'all was here for every one of them. Y'all remember all of them. Just kidding. But today we're gonna close it out the year with what instead of why. So I want you to turn to Mark. We are in Mark. There is a chapter 12, verse 28 through 34. What is the greatest commandment? Is what we're going to talk about. And I don't know if you really thought about that or not. So let me read the scripture. Then I'm just going to give you a brief little Old Testament background, and then we're going to get into it. Mark chapter 12, verse 28 through 34. Y'all there? Get y'all to follow along. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing, how I put emphasis on what you need to pay attention to? We're going to break all this down. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer. He asked Jesus, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, now listen to this last statement Jesus made. You are not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Dear Heavenly Father, let's take these a few words you have us today and break them down and just give us insight and understanding of what you want us to receive out of it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You're not far from the kingdom of God, which means he ain't quite there yet. Okay? And we'll get into that in a minute. So, a little different today than what I usually do. You don't have to turn here, but let me read Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 5 is the Ten Commandments. You remember those?
Yeah.
Okay. So, got the Ten Commandments God provided. Jump to chapter 6. Love the Lord your God. There are the commands, decrees, laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, listen, your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy a long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Now, this verses 4 and 5 is what we want to hit on real quick. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Do you remember that in Mark? That's what Jesus quoted in Mark. Okay? These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. All right. Let's see if I can break this down for us. So you got the Ten Commandments. And so man, like everything else usually, has to mess it up a little bit. And so they should, you know, it got to be a little bit more laws. By the time we get to Jesus' time where he's reading Mark, this teacher of the law knows all this. And so there's roughly 631 laws and commands that they want to keep, which it's impossible, humanly impossible. And so this man, I want you to notice this. This man, the teacher of the law that knew this stuff, he was sitting back observing Jesus answer all these hard questions that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which they had ulterior motive in mind to trip Jesus up, and they couldn't, asking all these questions. This man was sitting back. Sometimes we need to sit back and listen to God. Okay? Instead of, you know, I told you that little joke about me about being confused and on my sermon and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes, just like I had to this morning, you got to step back and listen to what God has to tell you. Amen. This man is listening to the Lord Jesus Christ answer these questions, and which prompted him, what is the greatest commandment? Because he knows there's all these commandments. Now, he's not trying to trap Jesus. He's recognizing that there's something else. There's something else we need to pay attention to. And so he asked a legitimate question. Let me ask you something. When you get in a situation that comes up or a question that comes up that you can't answer, where do you go to first? Do you ask God to give you guidance? You should. The answer is yes, you should. And so this man is in the presence of God, in front of Jesus, and he wants some questions answered. What's the greatest commandment? Notice he said, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus gave him two. And we'll talk about that. So sometimes we have to search on what God wants us to do. You know, we got to put a little effort out every now and then. We got to do a little bit, not just wait and sit on God to tell you something. He can, and He will, He may. But He also expects you to do a little bit too.
Amen.
You know, He wants you to, do you just play off this stuff? Like if you got a question about the Bible comes up, you got a question about it, you just play it off? Maybe I hear it in a sermon one day, or maybe. Or do you actively seek God for guidance? That's what we need to do. Yeah, like he said, we got to dig in. What you searching for? Are you searching for answers? You're searching for love, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. Searching for meaning. Searching for the kingdom. So just keep those questions in mind as we process this and what God is trying to, and what he's trying to tell us in the scripture here. One of the teachers of the law came and heard him debating, noticing that Jesus had given them good answers of all the commandments. We already talked about that, which is most important. One of the teacher of the law, it don't identify who he is. He's one of the teachers of the law. Maybe he recognized the need for some relief from the law. Maybe he recognized, and I'm going to venture to say he did, he recognized there's something more he needed instead of just following the law or attempting to follow the law. Then Jesus, you know, he said on the first one, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord God with all your heart. I'm going to count these out because I got to count with my fingers. All your heart, all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength. I don't know about y'all. I don't know how often you read your Bible, but I read that I don't know how many times. Do you know what those four things mean? What's that mean to give all that? Oh, I go to church. I do all this stuff. That's part of it. Part of it. But we're talking about this daily walk, I'll just get into here in a minute, and what that really means. And we're going to break it down on what it means. Love with all your heart is emotional cost. It's going to cost you something. We'll talk about it. You have to give him, this is a must, not a shall. If you want that relationship with God that we're talking about, you want that eternal life with him and his kingdom, you got to give him your will. You got to give him your right to decide and choose. We make decisions every day. Do you check with him first? Is the decision you make line up with what God wants? Does it? That's what that means, to give your heart. Is, and then in your relationships with people. You got to give him your guide and give him control. You know, our society, we struggle with that as the flesh, to give up control. And so God needs to be in control of every aspect of your life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, all the time. It's an emotional cost. It ain't easy. No, it's not necessarily easy to do for some people. But we got to give it to him, and you got to give him your heart. Love with all your soul. So the heart is emotional cost. You got to give him your emotions. Your soul is your spiritual cost. You know, how many times I say it all the time. And you got a soul. Everybody has a soul. And there's two destinations. Your spiritual cost. What you going to give, which way you want to go with it. You must give him your heart. We talked about let him love through it, whom and how he wills. even if it seems to break your heart. Sometimes you got to make some decisions that you don't like to make, but you need to give it to God, let Him make it for you. And you might not agree with it. You might not agree with what He wants you to do or how to handle the situation. He might not, but you got to, that's where the faith and trust comes in. God sees the big picture from now to eternity and before that. He sees all of it. He knows what's best for you and I. He created you and I. He knows what's best, even if you don't think so. So your heart, your emotional deal, and your soul, your spiritual cause, you got to give it to Him. Love with all your mind. A big word here. Intellectual cost. Must give Him your intelligence, reasoning powers, and trust Him to work through them even when it contradicts common sense. Almost, I'm going to say it anyway. I don't see a lot of common sense in people anymore. To be honest with you, it's not real common. That's true. It's not real common. But we got to give it to Him. If it don't make sense, it don't matter. As long as it lines up with God. Yeah. Love with all your strength. That's the physical cost. Must give Him your body to indwell. Where's the temple at today? Right here. Must give Him your body to indwell, and through which He speaks. Whether He chooses health or sickness, strength or weakness, trust the outcome. Sustain effort and ongoing concentration. Be content. Where you at right this moment, whatever your emotional state is, whatever your physical state is, whatever your spiritual state is, be content. As long as you line up with God, be content where He has you at. He has you there for a reason. He's going to use you in different situations. Sometimes you got to go through something in order to reach someone that's going through something.
Amen.
Kind of double talk there, wasn't it? But how are you going to know? It's how you know how to handle a situation if you've never been in that situation. So give Him all your strength. You give God all four of those. Give Him complete control over your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And you'll be amazed at the outcome. Even when, like I said, it don't make common sense. It don't make any sense to do that. That's the first part. You got to give it to God. Now, that's the first command that Jesus said, love God, the Lord, with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. Now, here it comes. Here's where the rubber meets the road for a lot of people. Likewise. Mm-hmm. Likewise means like.
Same.
It. Same deal. Mm-hmm. They compare each other. Mm-hmm. You know, they mirror each other. Put it that way. Your neighbor. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandments greater than these. So let me tell you how you love your neighbor, which let me tell you what a neighbor is. Anybody you come in contact with, okay? When you're walking through this life, you cross a lot of paths, a lot of people, okay? You have to be ready. And I think it was Josh in the back over here. Or and so when they walked up this morning, they said, are you ready? I said, I stay ready. If you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. And I was joking. I ain't being conceited. You got to stay ready in the Lord's word and His work. You got to stay ready at all times because you never know when you're going to have to use it.
Amen.
So love your neighbor. So to love your neighbor, you notice he put God first. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. So you got to do that first. When you get that accomplished, The second one of flow is just like flows right together. Okay? You can't pick and choose who you like. Or let me back up. You can't pick and choose who you love as God's love. Now, you don't have to necessarily like that person. You gotta love them all. Sometimes, you know, you heard this called the golden rule. Let me tell you something about the golden rule. Let me tell you what it's not. Then I'll tell you what it is. The golden rule is not all conclusive. Meaning, it can't save you. No power to forgive your sin or justify you before God. There's only one way you can get your sins justified and taken care of, and that's Jesus Christ on the cross. Amen. That died for you and I. Okay. Now, when you accept Him, and when you do all these things we talked about, the spiritual cost and all that, then you're going to line up with the golden rule. That comes, it can come more natural to you. Okay. So the golden rule, just because you're good to people, that's not going to get you nowhere. This will be, I hate to say it, but it's true. There's a lot of good people in hell.
Amen.
It's just the way it is. Good don't get you there. And that's a matter of perspective. Look at God's perspective. There's nobody good. Like a preacher told me one time, we all dirty rags that Jesus wipes up with the blood. His blood. It's not complete, the golden rule. But it is a reminder of relationships, of love, God, of love. God loved us first, and now we, in return, should love others like He does. I think I need to tell you this. So the love we're talking about is not a love that's deserved. There's no merits to get that. Now, we had that kind of love. You know, you end up loving this person. You love your kids, your wife, spouse. We ain't talking about that kind of love. We're talking about love. Because remember, we're talking about everybody, the second part of the commandment, everybody. And so they don't necessarily deserve it. Most of them don't deserve it. Neither did none of us. But He sent His Son down here because He loved us that kind of love. Thank Jesus. Thank God He did it.
Amen.
That's the kind of love we're talking about. So it's a reminder of relationships of love. God loved us first, and now in return should love others. It's a reminder of the responsibility of love. What's that mean? If you notice, if you read back in Mark, it's a command.
Oh, yeah.
That makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's not if you want to.
Come on.
Or if it feels right. It's a command. Even when you're not in a loving mood, you ever woke up on the wrong side of the bed, hate the world, before coffee, that's harder to love somebody then too. It's a command. It's a reminder of the reason for love, a command, and because He loved us first. It's that agape love, they call it. You want to use that word, selfless. Only God through you can have that kind of love. Got to take the I, me out of it. God works through you. Knows how this works. Love God, give Him all your body, all your soul, all your mind, all your heart, all that stuff. Give it all to God, every bit of it. Genuinely give it to Him. Then everything else flows right in together. Make sure I didn't miss nothing. My question to you is, what this man's question was to God, to Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? I need you to do some soul searching. Make sure you line up with on these two commands that Jesus presented to him, which wraps up and covers every law, every Ten Commandment. And so that encompasses all that. And if you want to follow Christ and follow his rules, his law, this is how you got to do it. And Jesus simplified it for us.
Amen.
This man here had the courage to ask the right question. What question you need to ask God? What were you with your relationship with him? He'll listen. He's there. And like we said at the beginning of the service today, he's the same today as he was back when this man asked that question. He hadn't changed. And all he's waiting on you to see if you're going to step forward and ask that question. Where am I at with you? You got to have the Lord Jesus. You got to have him. If you want to spend eternity with him instead of an eternity of destruction in hell, you got to have Lord Jesus Christ. So as Daryl, get y'all to stand. Daryl's going to play a song of invitation. Where you stand, you can pray. You can start talking to God right now, you and him, one-on-one. It's open to come up here. If you need to come here and talk to me or get by the altar, that's fine too. But you make sure that you get right with the Lord Jesus Christ and have him as your personal Lord and Savior. And then all this other stuff will come to you.
Amen.
He'll give it to you. Dear and Father, thank you for this opportunity to be here today and hear your word, Lord. Just thank you for the many blessings you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.